Oh, hey, Steve. So, Elle asked us to meet him here, but I don't see him anywhere. Do you?
No. I wandered around a bit, and I couldn't see him anywhere. I checked out his usual places, like the Cinnabon, and he wasn't there. And but I know he's been out promoting his book, so he should be here by now. Do you know if what flight he's on, maybe?
No. He did say something about getting a special deal so he could afford the ticket. Huh. Hey. Huh. That guy's coming pretty close. What do you think's going on?
It's a bird. It's a plane.
Thanks for the ride, Cookie!
Ow. 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 Ouch, dude! That was some kind of landing.
Yeah.
Are you okay?
Well, that's what you get when you fly with my pilot friend Cookie. He can't afford to land at the airports. Plus, they won't give him ground clearance anyway. It's a long story. So he gets in as close as he can, and then you have to jump. But it's worth it for the price.
Dane, Al, this is your third book. Haven't you made enough for a proper plane ticket yet?
No, Steve. Thank you for pointing that out. I haven't. Actually, this last book that I just wrote is free.
Free.
Yeah. Al, I hate to break it to you, but you're not really very good at this becoming a famous author thing, are you?
Tell you what. Grab your bags, and Chad and I will give you some tips, and we'll talk about what your book is about.
Oh, no, my bags. I forgot them. And my whole box of books. They're all on the plane. Cookie, come back!
Whoa. He must have heard you. He's coming back. Whoa, watch out!
Watch out, books!
Incoming books! Oh, man. That had to hurt. Steve, remind me never to let Al make any of my travel arrangements.
Agreed.
Welcome to Carnivore Theology, a podcast that covers hot topics, current events, and answers your questions to help you grow from milk to meat into wise, skilled, world-changing followers of Jesus Christ. Here's Dr. Chad Graham, Pastor Al Desjardins, and your host, Steve Bastian.
Okay, we're going to start with some announcements? Okay, cool.
Sure.
Fundraising. Well,
announcements. So if you've been following us on Facebook, we have the Bacon-O-Meter.
Yep.
And you know
Bacon-O-Meter is starting to get crispy.
It's starting to smell good around here because, you know, the Bacon-O-Meter is, what, it's about 60% of the way there?
What's 120? 200?
Yes.
120? Yes.
Yeah, we're about 60% of the way there. And thank you so much for those who have donated to help us keep our website open and
URL
costs
much.
And all those fun things.
Hey, Al, what's 4 plus 4?
44. It depends.
It depends if you're Nal time or
what's your truth? What's my truth?
Oh, man. Anyways, and thank you for those who donated. And if you haven't donated yet, if you want to find out how, just go to the website, carnivoretheology.com. Or find us on Facebook and message us, and we'll get back to you. We appreciate so much.
It's so great. Yeah, really, really appreciate that.
We're feeling the love.
When it comes to paying the bills and stuff like that, you guys know that we don't have a ton of money, and every little bit helps us. There is a little bit of background money that we need, a little bit of background production costs, and just it's great that you guys – it really encourages us, too, that you guys would be willing to do that, and it tells us that we want to keep doing what we're doing. So thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Yeah, we have little celebrations every time a little donation comes in or Al messages us. We're like, woo!
So,
if you remember the dancing video from a few weeks back, that's pretty much what Al and Steve do every time. I sit with, you know, my emotions inside and just nod my head and say, I appreciate those people.
Yeah. That's right. But hold on. Speaking of things we did, this is something that didn't work, and that was the contest.
No. Why would you even don't even mention that?
I know. Speaking of bad news,
no, we don't mention bad news. Why would you focus on that?
Okay, fine. We're gonna We started a contest a few weeks ago, and zero people entered it, which shows that chances are the problem is us, because as soon as we started asking you guys for help, lots of you came in, and you were great, and you helped us out, and there was lots of feedback online and help. So clearly, we made a really bad contest, which was stupid. So we are going to change the contest. We'll figure out new rules for the contest, because we really want to give away this book, and we'd like to get some listener interaction. So we'll figure out new rules and then get back to you. How does that work? Okay.
New rules.
Does that work for everybody?
Even feel free to send us the rules that you want the contest to be.
There you go. There's some, you tell us what you would like to do to win a book, and we will do that. Anything you want. Okay. What is this episode about anyway?
Yes, this episode. Well, Al, as our very special friend, you've written very third book, and we want to talk a little bit about it. It's ask you why you wrote it, what's it about, and maybe why it's worth reading.
I can probably answer the first two of those.
How about you just tell me what your book is generally about? It's called The Foundations. So is it about building houses?
No. It's not. That'd be a terrible book for me to write. Okay, so basically the story behind this book is that it was a series of sermons. Let me back up sort of the story here, is that I sat down one day, and this would have been, 10 years ago, and I just wrote down a list of all the things that I thought a Christian would need to know, and a Christian would need to do, and a Christian would need to understand, and I just started chewing through this. And so I just kept a note. As I bumped into stuff in my devos and I bumped into stuff in my classes or I bumped into stuff that I was learning, I just kind of write, Chris needs to know that. And so I came up with this idea that I wanted to find a really good curriculum that would kind of teach everything everybody would need to know about everything to do with the Christian life. Basically, if you know the story of John Calvin and his institutes, the same thing kind of happened to me in that John Calvin basically wrote a pamphlet. He was trying to help people out. Right. And so he's like, here's a pamphlet. And then as he, for the next how many years, 50 years, edited his pamphlet and added some things and changed some things and fixed some things and expanded some things, it eventually became a multi-volume set of that we call the Institutes of the Christian Religion. So this is sort of a similar thing, but worse.
Al Salazar, so he thinks that he's pretty much John Calvin.
Yep.
No, and that he's there pastoring in Geneva, Ontario.
No. See, what I'm trying to say is we traveled a similar path for a short period of time, and basically that was I wanted my church to know what I think as a pastor how I would like them to start the Christian life. What are the foundations or the basics or the starting part? And so I wrote a list of all these things. Christian needs spiritual connection to the church, needs emotional support, financial support, a place to be real, spiritual experiences, a meaningful place that they can use their gifts, all these things. And then I sat down and I said, well, what does a Christian need to know? They need to experience this, but they need to know like soteriology, so study salvation and how to defend the faith and how to study the Bible and truths about God and all these different study things. And I went, okay, man, that's a lot. Missiology, ecclesiology, how the church works and how to share your faith and how to evangelize and what the world religions are about and all these things they need to know. And then what is a Christian supposed to do? Well, be merciful and forgiving and peacemaking and giving and generous and service and submit.
I'm feeling overwhelmed already.
Yeah, I know. And I thought, oh my goodness. So I wanted to find a curriculum that would help out with this. Where can I get people to kind of start with this stuff as their pastor? Couldn't find one that I really thought would.
So basically everyone else in the world's crap compared to you. So
I just say I couldn't.
Al has a very humble perspective on his materials.
Okay. Ow. Okay. What I was saying, I'm saying I couldn't find one. There's probably many out there, but that's literally speaking to my people. So I sat down there and I said, okay, I'm going to start writing this. And I thought maybe I'll do this in 6 weeks, just kind of a general outline. And it took about 26 weeks, actually, to get through what I thought would have been a basic understanding of the foundations of what a Christian needs to know and do and learn and experience. So I created it. I took it and I turned it into a book called The Foundations. and I'm giving it to the church, and I'm passing it out for free online, because I honestly believe that right now the Christian church and the churches I've had pastoral experience over, they grasp basic concepts of faith, but they don't really have a solid foundation of what they understand. Well, like, what is the Bible all about? How are they saved? You know, there's a lot of religion mixed up into their faith, and they don't really understand where salvation comes from. You know, the five solas. You know, why we are built on only the Bible and not other people's opinion. Why we are built on the singular faith of Jesus Christ. How it's not. There's not many roads to heaven and stuff like that. And as I bumped into a lot of Christians, they don't know this stuff. And so I thought, you know what, let me have a book, let me put together something so that people read it. When they read it, they can get a basic understanding of a jumping off point to start off their Christian faith, to understand just sort of the basics, and then they can grow from there. It's definitely not everything you need to know. It is not the Institute of the Christian Religion. It's just like a basic introductory understanding of the most basic stuff, hopefully written on a popular level.
But you put 26 weeks into this. That's actually some effort. That's not just off the cuff.
Well, and that the thing is, like, you start with the chapters. Like, I'll give you, there's five parts to the book. Part one is the true gospel, right? So how do you explain the true gospel? Well, it took me like 6-8 weeks. You know, I went through the solas. I went through the different understanding of what the true gospel is. And then, okay, now that you know the basics of the Christian faith and what we basically believe and why we basically believe, you know, faith alone, scripture alone, grace alone. Well, now what? Well, how do you grow at church? Part two is about growing at church. So what makes a Christian and why do we have leaders in the church and aren't we all equals, and what makes an elder an elder, and you know, why are Christian friends important? Well, that's part two. And so I'm like, okay, now that you're coming to church and that you kind of understand why we're here, well, how do you become a disciple? Well, what is a disciple? Well, you know, why is this such a serious deal? So, like, I write a warning, how we got to be careful when you get into being discipleship and what it means to be a part of a good church. And then, okay, now that you're kind of on this, hopefully you're sold on this idea of you know what the church is and you know what a Christian is and you want to become a disciple. Well, what are the disciplines that a Christian needs to know? And so the part four is called Disciplines of the Heart, which is basically, it's about repentance. Repentance and commitment. And as I wrote, I'm like, I didn't quite explain that right. Let's do that. Let's do a bit more on that. Let's do a bit more on that. And then part five gets to where I actually wanted to start in the first place. It is the four core Christian disciplines, which is, you know, studying your Bible, attending church, serving others. It's critical to me. That's where I wanted to start. That practical idea of prayer, study, attendance. And I couldn't do that. I kept having to back it up
right.
Until I got to the place of, okay, what is this Christian thing anyway?
Yeah.
And if you right? find it too hard to read one of Elle's entire books, just record this episode and listen to it over and over.
Well, the book itself is actually relatively short. It's 169 pages, if including the intros and all that. So yep. At least in the
I thought
PDF.
Elle always aimed to write 666 pages in each of his books.
it's the condensed version of that.
Oh, okay, yeah. good.
Yeah, so, you know, like, Elle, you always write from a kind of a semi-humorous perspective. But what was one of the things that you enjoyed writing in this book the most? What was one of the things that kind of just got you know, excited? And like your last book, I loved your ninja perspective, and that was rather intriguing to read. Can you maybe give us some insight on where you're coming from with your writing style in this book?
I've always written in a conversational way, in that I'm trying to talk to an individual or talk to a group. I don't want to talk at them. I want to talk to them. And so for me, the most exciting thing about writing this or about delivering this sermon series was that I got so much response back from people. And I mean from, you know, like, people that have been in the church for 40 years to people that hadn't been, that only been in the church for less than a year to new people, just going, I'd never heard it that way before. I didn't know that before, you know, the exciting part of it was to say, okay, you know, this is what repentance is, and this is why it's such a big deal. And this is what happens when you change, you give your heart to God and you ask to be cleansed and you change your mind about what you're doing, and he comes in and he completely washes away your sin. And this is what a life looks like after that. Right. Or, you know, to me, you know, I love the idea of going in and saying, okay, now we're going to talk about discipleship, but here's 45 straight minutes of a warning of why you really got to be careful with this stuff and how bad this could get, You know, this is when you talk about discipleship, it's not a small thing. So for me, like, this is my pastoral heart poured onto a page to give to anybody who wants to know about basically what, and again, my perspective of what I, as your pastor, want you to know. And so that was its own driving passion.
So very much the kind of heart of you as a pastor.
Really, it is. And I mean, it's not, by no stretch is it a perfect book, because I've got, you know, there again, I felt very much I can understand where Calvin was coming from, where he'd want to revisit it and revisit it and revisit it. And, you know, because I know there's stuff in there that I could expand and stuff in there that I could keep going with. But it was this idea of, okay, at some point I need to shut this down and started, you know, actually get back into the, you know, expositional preaching. But it's definitely my heart. And
so, Del, when you say that, does that mean, did you use this material to preach a series on as you were working through it? Is that what you mean?
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of started as the first original thought was, okay, I want my people to understand the basics of what they need to do, you know, read your Bible, go to church, say your prayers, you know, kind of thing. And if everybody could just do that, we'd be a much better church. We'd all be better Christians, right? So I'm like, okay, back it up. Why do they have to do that? Back it up. What do we need to know before that? Back it up. You know, like, where does this all come from? And if you don't have an understanding that, say, for example, the Bible is our authority for life and ministry, then it doesn't matter if I say, go read your Bible. You know what I mean?
Good point.
If you're walking into church saying, well, the Bible is an option, but I've also got, you know, I've got my astrology, or I've got my feelings, or I've got my understanding of our history, or my philosophy, and then that's an equal option. Well, then it doesn't matter for me to say, go read your Bible, because you don't fully grasp the idea of how important it is that God is speaking to you personally through that word. Right.
So,
and then to say, okay, if this is God's word to you, how do you actually read it in a way that God does speak to you personally, or that you get something out of it? So it's not just written for someone 2,000 years ago, or written for something 1,500 years ago, but you personally can get something out of it. I wanted both of those things.
Let me ask you one more thing. I find when I've preached a bit of a longer series, like I preached through the Gospel of Matthew, and some you're going through and you're doing the work and you're hoping to, you know, be encouraged from the stuff you're studying and then pass on the best bits to other people. But every now and then something will kind of surprise you and kind of convict you or catch you. Is there any topics when you're doing that for you personally, as you were working it through, you were going, oh, wow. And what we want here is your most deepest, darkest secrets, most personal.
You know, I mean, I think the one that hit me the hardest was Psalm 51, where I did a study of Psalm 51 because of the uncleanliness in my heart and how far I am from where I want to be or where I hope to be, how I can see my own hypocrisy, I stand there on Sunday and I, you know, I'm supposed to be, according to the word, I'm supposed to be a model for other believers, that I should be able to say to them, you know, follow me as I follow Christ, right, you know, and I can see as I went through that, how far I was and how big of a hypocrite I am, and how it broke me to the point I'm going, you know what, this is, why am I here? And how can I call myself, a believer when I have such problems in my own heart? And then to get to the end and to, you know, ask God and say, you know, take not your Holy Spirit, restore to me the joy of your salvation. I tell you what, reading that again, restore to me the joy of your salvation, meant so much to me, because I wanted to find my joy not in my sin, not in my family, not in my ministry, not in my preaching, but the joy in salvation. That meant so much to me. That was a moment to me that really, really spoke to me, and I've carried it with me since I finished writing it.
Oh, that's great, Al. So, you know, I think I'd say here, you know, I can't afford these kind of fancy books now on my new book budget. I haven't been back at school here, but this is a book that you want to invest in anyway. And I hope you can tell from just listening in, what you're getting is a real pastoral heart and someone who's really worked through these issues. So this is probably one that you'll want to invest that $0 in as well.
Yeah. So it's worth every penny.
So if you have $0 and want to get this book, Al, where can people find this book?
Okay, go to my website, artofthechristianninja.com, and you'll see a button called My Books. On the very top, you'll see a bunch of links. So I've got it for the Kindle, and I've got it for EPUB, for everybody who doesn't have a Kindle. And then on there is a PDF version
Wait, there are people who don't have a Kindle?
I know, right? It boggles my mind that they're
Kobo people. Where do they live? There.
Yeah.
We're a Kobo family here.
You Kobo people, I don't know what's wrong with you. But there's also a PDF version on there if you want to grab it and print it. I have one other church that's already said that they maybe want to use this as a discipleship tool. Cool. And so if you want to do that, use it. Do it. Whatever you want with it. All I ask is that you don't change it.
For those of you who don't know, Al is maintaining his intellectual property rights to this book, and changing it in any way would violate that. And in that case, Al's going to sue you.
So changing it and leaving my name on it. No, changing it and leaving my name on it could be bad. Yeah. Right. Just use it. And then if you want to change stuff, go ahead. But then don't make it.
Have you had a book changed by some well-meaning church?
I was going to say, as an educator, like I work with Christian schools, would you be okay if a school is using it for a curriculum or something like that?
100,000,000%. In fact, awesome. I mean, my Art of the Christian Ninja book that I did before, mm-hmm. I wrote a whole PowerPoint presentation for it just so people could teach it. Like, I want people to use this stuff, and I wanted to do whatever they can with it. So I'm releasing this for free because for two reasons. Number one is because I think every church should have this and hopefully it'll like it. And second is because it's not well referenced and I couldn't have sold it anyway. Like, I've done my best, but I know for a fact that there's probably some goofy reference stuff going on in there, and my footnotes are a little hinky winky. So it's from my sermons, right?
Hashtag boycott L. It's a little hinky winky.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much, Al. I do appreciate your writing. You always have such a pastoral heart. You just want to simplify things that people like me that don't have a doctorate in theology can understand. So
I hope so.
Thank you. You hope so. Oh, I don't know if that's an insult or a compliment.
No. I mean, that is my hope behind my writing.
I hope that even Steve can understand this book.
If Steve can understand it, I'll know I've done my job.
Anyone can.
I'm just going to sit here sad. Maybe Chad can read the
struggling with only a grade 4 equivalency education? It's all right. Steve can read this book.
Yeah, I'm the only one with not a master's or doctorate in this room, so I'm a little sad. Yeah, well, thank you so much, Al. If you listen to this podcast and you want to find out more about Carnivore Theology, or even get some of our custom merchandise, or download bulletin inserts, or the posters, the media kit, it's awesome. It's very concise in talking about what we do. Or if you want to send us ideas about what you want us to cover, visit
us. Most importantly, if you want to fill up the bacon-o-meter.
Yeah.
The bacon-o-meter.
Help us out in the bacon-o-meter.
Chad might even do a little dance if it gets full.
Yep.
And we'll record it.
His stoic nature will crack.
I did see a nod. We're going to hold
when
that
when it
as
gets
a...
full, I will do a little dance.
If we get to 200, we should do a dance. We will release on Carnivore Theology. I hereby declare three of us will do a dance if we hit 200. I will edit it, record it, and you guys will get to watch Chad, me, and Steve boogie.
Can we call it the bacon dance, please?
Do the bacon boogie.
That is, we'll call it the bacon dance.
Let me see your sizzling bacon. What's that you say?
To find out more about Carnivore Theology, get some custom merchandise, download bulletin inserts and posters, or send us some ideas about topics you'd like us to cover, visit our website at www.carnivoretheology.com. For even more Carnivore Theology content, check out our new CT Shorts video series on our YouTube channel. If you like what we're doing, please share us with your church and friends. Like us on Facebook and rate us on iTunes. And as always, we encourage you to connect with your local biblical church and keep your eyes on the cross.
All right, let's do the skit. Unless you want to actually... Steve, you got to start the podcast. All right, I'll be quiet now.
Okay, you can be quiet.
I don't think you can, actually.
It's ironic that we have so many anonymous people that won't watch us and so many that are watching us that we don't want to watch us.
Well, if you're wondering what we're doing, welcome.
Oh, hello. Are we recording?
Behind the scenes recording.
Hi, everyone. I'll shut up now. Kids, can you please shut up?
He's yelling at his children.
Come on!
Is he really? That was awesome.
You didn't hear what I said. That's because I muted it.
Oh, well, that's wise.
It's probably on the audio, though.
Yeah, I know it is. Yeah. All right. Are you ready to do the... you want to start with the skit?
Hey, Steve. Ella... No. What?
I've lost the skit.
There hey, Steve.
Ellen.
No.
That's one of my favorite clips online.
Steve.
That's one of my favorite songs.
Okay, let's start over. Go.
Airport. Cue airport noise. Crowd. Airport noise. Milling.
Look out! It's a drone!
What airport were you at? Like 1934 London?
The Blitz. He's at the Blitz.
He's in the...
Look, Mommy, there's a little airplane up in the sky.
I'm going to go do some barnstorming.
Cue music.
Cue mandolin music.
We have a mandolin? Were you playing a mandolin in that?
Yes.
I like mandolins.
Year three.
That's why it's so perky and peppy and happy. Mandolins.
I like mandolin oranges, so.
That's yeah. Ow. It's like you call it a ukulele. It's like, it insults me to the soul.
All right.
Okay. Wait, a mandolin's the same thing as a ukulele?
Okay. On this episode. I apologize. Chad's being weird.
Chad is being weird. My chair slowly sank for some reason.
Yeah. Ukulele Steve just seems to have sunk down in his chair.
Okay. There we go. It just went down slowly.
What is this episode about anyway?
Yes.
Bye-bye.
See ya.
Bye, all. I didn't say bye, Al. I said bye, all.
Bye, all. Bile. Bile.
There.